didn't want to rebuke his wicked sons, who so caused the people to despise the whole Old Testament system of sacrifices that were actually meant to point to Christ by their behavior as being sons of the high priest. Eli didn't want to stand up to them. And for this he was judged. And it was a very terrible judgment upon Eli. That is natural meekness. Then there's also this natural meekness that we find in King Jehoshaphat, who would not stand up against wicked King Ahab and made an alliance with him, even marrying his daughter after his son, causing immeasurable suffering to come upon Judah in the following years. S. Pink says the meekness to which the blessing is annexed here in this passage is not constitutional, but gracious. It is a gift of God, like poverty of spirit and the disposition to mourn over sin. These things are not natural. They don't come with the natural man. They are given. Natural meekness easily gives way to wickedness. It does not fight against it. But this gracious meekness comes out of poverty of spirit, that those who have it realize that they don't have a leg to stand on before God and are totally dependent on his mercy. And so what then are the characteristics of the person who is spiritually meek? That is, who have been made meek by the Spirit of God. So we look at the characteristics then of spiritual meekness. The first thing we see is that the meek person, the spiritually meek person, as distinguished from the naturally meek person that I've been talking about, the spiritually meek person accepts God's judgment of him or her. As Spurgeon pointed out in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the meek comes after blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. It must be in that order. Without Christ, the unbeliever proudly declares his or her independence from God, considers his laws irrelevant, and tramples on the sacrifice that the Lord made on the cross. He says, why do I need someone to die for me? I'm okay. I'm not a criminal. In fact, I gave generously to the latest bushfire appeal in the Salvation Army. I'm a pillar in my society. I'm as good as the next person, maybe a little bit better. And such a person may at the same time also have a very placid and gentle character. Wouldn't hurt a flea. But he or she is not meek by the biblical standard, because his spirit proudly resists God. And so a Christian has a broken spirit. And this broken spirit is accompanied and followed by mourning, as Asaph's was in Psalm 73, verse 22. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you, says Asaph, after he came to his senses. And that's what happens. When the Lord reveals what we are really like, then we say to ourselves, did I think that? Did I say that? And we mourn. And what is the effect of the humbling of his spirit through being shown his sin and repenting of it? He becomes meek. And so the meek person then, as we've seen, accepts God's judgment of him. He says, yes, God, you're right. What you say about me. The second thing we see is that the meek person accepts and submits to God's dealings with him with a quiet spirit. So meekness or this dealing, when God humbles our spirit, then he makes us willing to submit to him. To go back to the biblical account of the high priest Eli, we have seen that his natural meekness made him neglect to stand up against his wicked sons who brought the whole Old Testament worship in disrepute by their behaviour. But, however, he was told by Samuel, when he was told by Samuel of the judgment of God that would come upon his family and upon his subsequent posterity, what did Eli say? In 1 Samuel 3:18 he says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So there we see his natural attitude of wanting to, of allowing himself to be walked all over by his sons, that is sometimes mistaken as meekness. We see that overtaken by a different kind of meekness, a meekness of submission to the judgment of God, an acceptance of God's judgment of him, and a willingness to accept God's dealings with him with a quiet spirit. That is spiritual meekness. Eli realized his guilt and submitted to his God in the judgment that followed, which was to take the lives of his sons and his own life as well, because he knew that God does all things well. That is spiritual meekness. Then the third thing we see about spiritual meekness is that the meek person, the spiritually meek person, commits his case to God and leaves it to him to defend him when he is slandered. The person that comes to mind is Moses. Numbers 12, verse 3, we read, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men that were on the face of the earth." Now, Moses simply cannot be accused of being a weakling. Everything that we read about Moses tells us differently. He didn't let people walk all over him. But it says that Moses was more meek than all the people on the earth. It was Aaron who gave in to the people's wish to make a golden calf, whereas Moses broke the tables of the Ten Commandments in his angry response and ground it into powder and made the people drink it. Yet it is recorded that he was very meek. When Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister, challenged him for the leadership, or at least a portion of it, as it were, he prayed for God's mercy on his sister Miriam, who was struck with leprosy. In Numbers 12:13, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, please heal her, I pray." He was a meek person. He was spiritually meek. He accepted God's dealings. And he committed his case to God, and he let God defend him. David exhibited this meekness. Again, David could not be accused of being a sort of a person who allowed himself to be walked all over. But when Shimei of the family of Saul threw rocks at him when David was fleeing from his son Absalom, so he was at the very low point of his career, if you like, when Shimei threw rocks at him and cursed him, he said to his men who wanted to make a short end of Shimei, he said, "Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that he will repay me with good for his cursing this day." That's spiritual meekness. The willingness to commit your case to God. Let God defend you. We're told in Proverbs 19, verse 11, "It is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression." All right, and then the next thing we see about a meek person, a spiritually meek person, is that he is willing to be taught by the Word of God. It says in James 1, verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Implanted Word shows that it was already there. Think of the work of Paul. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So James says, in effect, instead of resisting and struggling against the force of the world, of the Word of God in your heart, rather, give way to it. Don't struggle against it. Receive it with meekness. Watson, the old Puritan, says, he is spiritually meek who conforms himself to the mind of God and does not quarrel with the instructions of the Word of God, but with the corruptions of his own heart. That's your quarrel. And that means we should come to the Scriptures with the attitude of David in Psalm 25, verse 4, when he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Then we come to the great example of meekness in the Bible, and that is, of course, the meekness of Christ. Jesus describes himself in Matthew 11, verse 29, I am gentle or meek and lowly of heart. And that's exactly the same word, by the way, as what is translated as gentle in the New King James. Jesus describes himself as meek and lowly in heart, of heart, and promised rest to those who would take his yoke upon them. Isaiah prophesies of the meekness of Christ in Isaiah 53, verse 7. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Not because he didn't have the courage to stand up against the ones who did this to him. He, you know, when the people first tried to arrest Jesus, the soldiers that came to arrest him, when they met him, they all fell over backwards because of his authority. They stumbled over themselves. He permitted that bit. But then he gave himself over to them. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He had the courage, but he submitted to the will of the Father to die in our place that he might purchase our salvation. He was meek and lowly at heart, but he submitted himself to the will of the Father to die in our place. We are told of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Imagine. Equal with the Father, through whom the worlds were created. And it says that he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. How can we imagine that? We are overwhelmed as we try to come to grips with the meekness of Christ involuntarily putting himself in that position for our sakes. to submit himself to the will of the Father, though he sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and to fall on his knees and to say, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Paul said to the Christian congregation in Philippi, in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. This was the meekness that Jesus demonstrated when we read in Luke 9, verse 51. His disciples looked at Jesus. There was something different about him. And it says in Luke 9, 51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Because that's what he had come for. He had come to die. And he set his face to go to Jerusalem, to die there, to suffer and to die there, to be crucified, to be condemned as a criminal for our sins, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As Dixon says, again, one of the old Puritans, no command given to him of the Father was grievous. No suffering made him grudge. No pain made him shrink from his duty or to faint. The citizens of the kingdom of God are conformed more and more to their Lord, who, as Peter says, he was reviled. He reviled not in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. So the Lord Jesus said, I am meek and lowly at heart. And then we consider next, how do the meek then inherit the earth? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Jesus says. He seems to be referring to Psalm 37, verse 11 that we read this morning. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. As Spurgeon says, by inheriting the land is meant covenant privileges. Just as Abraham believed in God's promise of the land, and yet at the same time it wasn't the land that he wanted. He wanted the promise. And so we read in Hebrews 11 verse 10, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so today the meek who believe the promises of God and live for them will not only find blessings and peace on this earth, but they will inherit the kingdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says again in Psalm 37 verse 11, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, you can only have this peace if you have peace with God. As it says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. If you've given up your trust in your own self-righteousness, if you realize that all your blessings come through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and throw your whole weight upon the promise of salvation because of his death in your place on the cross, then you have everything. You have the earth. You inherit. You will inherit the earth. The Lord Jesus says, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say, Come to me, all you who think that you have made it in this life. Come to me if you qualify and fit in with my standards. No. The gospel is for those who labor and are heavy laden. It is for the meek. It is for those who have every last vestige of self-sufficiency and self-righteousness knocked out from under them. And so Paul, that educated Pharisee and member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling authority under the Romans, a Pharisee respected by the people, was able to say after he had met Christ on the road to Damascus, in Philippians 3:7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All is the things that he had aimed for in his life. All his glory that he received from being a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling spiritual body in Judea. All of that was rubbish to him. He says in verse 8 of Philippians 3, indeed I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. If Paul didn't have Christ, he had nothing. Like the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus and said, what must I do? What else must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And then he walked away when he was challenged by the Lord Jesus Christ because he had many possessions. He thought he had the whole world, but at that moment, the rich young ruler walked away from the only one who could save his soul. Paul came to the same crisis, and he went the opposite direction. And so Paul had the earth. He said shortly before what was most likely his execution, we read in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Jesus says to us, and he said, as he said to Paul, as he showed him how many things he had to suffer for his sake, in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle or meek and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the yoke, of course, is a wooden neck piece by which a pair of oxen are held together to enable them to pull together. And so the yoke is the means by which we are to pull or carry the load. Like a good pack, if you go in for hiking, there's nothing like a good pack, and you can carry a lot of weight a long distance because the pack sits comfortably. Now the yoke is laid upon the oxen so that they can pull together. It is only when we lay down our own load and cast our sins upon the Lord Jesus Christ that we can begin to serve him like Paul did. And when we serve him instead of ourselves and entrust ourselves completely to him, Jesus says, you will find rest to your souls. Do you know this rest? What are you feeling like right at this very moment? Do you have this rest for your soul? Do you have the knowledge of sins forgiven? Do you have the joy of knowing that no matter what test the Lord might put us through in this life, that, as Paul says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called, who are the called according to his purpose. Paul was unable to persevere to the end because he had the meekness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:24 to 29 tells us of the beatings, hardships and labours that he had to endure. But he thought it was worth it all. He was able to persuade hardened hearts by pleading with them, as he says, through the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He said to the Corinthians who seemed inclined to rebel against his apostolic authority in 2 Corinthians 10:1, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you for the meekness and gentleness of Christ, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." That's what he was being accused of. He was accused of being a weak coward. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. That's what people were saying about him. That is, he didn't have the charisma and he did not use the skillful oratory that the Greeks were so impressed with. He probably wouldn't be employed by any of the more successful churches in our own day and age. But Paul had the meekness of Christ and he had learned from him, and it was this that made him effective in his ministry. In the end, people are going to be won to the gospel through the meekness and through the gentleness of Christ. On the day of judgment, it will be evident that the multitude which no man can number was brought into the kingdom, not through might and power, but through the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Matthew 21 verse 5 speaks of the conquering Messiah. "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey," not on a war horse, "a colt, the foal of a donkey. The meek will inherit the earth because their meek king has conquered it and they have received his inheritance." And so I'd like to conclude with Zephaniah 2 verse 3, which says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth." Who are the meek of the earth? They are the ones who are weary and heavy laden. The ones our Lord speaks of in Matthew 11:28. Those who realize that they cannot save themselves, but need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. But it is not only for those who are as yet unsaved. Every believer needs to seek the Lord in meekness in order to grow in his or her Christian life. We read in Galatians 5 verse 23 that gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is exactly the same word again. It's translated as meek in the old Authorized Version, where Jesus says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.